as the Lord may be pleased to help me, we would direct you prayerfully to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61, and we will read the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. As you know in your Bibles, it goes to the fourth of Luke, how Jesus, he was in the temple, and the book was handed to him, and he read this language, and he said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled." And oh, how vital it is that we know something of this blessed work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord God, to feel it upon you yourselves and oneself in standing up in his name. "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." If so be we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, then what can we preach but good tidings unto the meek? And to bind up the broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and so forth. But what a mercy if the Lord has so, as we sung in our opening hymn, granted us as the breaker to break our hearts. The Lord alone can make his word, which is recorded, whereby it says, "Is not his word as a hammer, to break the hardest heart, to make the stoutest rebel, to resign to the will of God?" Painful is the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing down hearts with labour. You see, you might be a very carefree, unconcerned person about the welfare of your immortal soul because you have not been born again. But yet let the Lord deal with you as one of his sons by this mysterious working of the Spirit, and he will make you to be meek. He will make you to feel a broken heart. He'll make you to feel to be a captive, and also to be in prison. The Lord shows us plainly in his word that we are sinners, and our sins shall find us out, and they certainly do and still do, brought to our remembrance. Past offences, we cannot erase them from the memory, and when God brings them to your remembrance and shows you what you are, there's no longer any hypocritical religion about you, or all that pharisaical self-righteousness and pride, is there? The Lord brings you and me to nothing. He empties us. He breaks our heart. And oh, how we seem to be weakened in our strength in the way. But you see, the Lord has promised to strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. You know, we never know how low we are to be ministered and brought before the Lord has mercy upon us and compassion, and comes where we are to preach these good tidings. See, the Lord God is a sovereign, but if he's anointed us, and anointed you and me by that Spirit, that then we should come with that desire to hear the preaching of good tidings. The good tidings, it was the forthcoming of the Lord Jesus Christ, made under the law with flesh like air flesh, and accepted he must become flesh to satisfy the just demands of God's holy law, which Adam and Eve broke. Or how they were tempted and allured by the adversary, or the subtlety of the devil. But you see, the Lord spoke to the serpent and said that he should bruise the Lord's heel. There was then that affecting of the Lord Jesus, in that he suffered, bled and died, that he might redeem his sheep from the curse of the law. Now the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I hope it will be tonight, friend. Or we get very tempted and try, but if the Spirit were not upon us, we might just as well sit down. We trust that the Lord has promised, and we continually depend upon his promises, at least desire to. The promises that he has promised all his servants, as he did his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so what a great and a solemn, weighty matter it is to ever venture to stand up in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we shrink from it. But woe unto us if we preach not the gospel of Christ. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon sinners, he raises them up, he equips them, he opens their mouth wide, he fills that mouth with the good matter of the gospel that will lead a poor broken-hearted sinner, a meek sinner, to Christ. And oh, he will send, you know, his blessed Spirit to bind up your broken heart with the application of a precious word, with the word made flesh. Or when you can feed upon the truth of God's word, the word was made flesh, Jesus Christ. You feed upon the broken body of Christ by faith. And you desire to partake of that precious blood that he shed on Calvary's tree. "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you." These things are spiritually discerned. Now when the Lord so anoints a poor sinner to preach good tidings, he will be a messenger in God's message. And if your heart is so broken, and you're so meek and so humbled in the dust with regard to religion, grace won't make you a doormat. No, you'll earnestly contend for right things and stand for your rights, I believe. As the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, was not ashamed to offend those Jews, because there was no love in their heart, was there? And we meet those that there's no love in their heart to God and his truth and his ways. Therefore, you'll withstand the wiles of the devil as grace is given in your battle, in fighting that good fight of faith, that you might lay hold on eternal life, and you'll see grace to be steadfast, to be unmovable. Unmovable in your beliefs, which are founded upon God's word. You know, we do need the Lord to grant us that steadfastness, don't we? To be steadfast, to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord in this sense, not to wear your religion on your sleeve, not to go about trying to convert the world, but seeking to walk honestly and uprightly before men. Whether they undermine you, deceive you, or mock you, laugh you to scorn, you know this is the battle. This is the battle for a preacher, for the believer and for the preacher. The battle is not ours. What a mercy that is so, friends. The battle is not ours, but the Lord will have you and me to wait upon him daily, to anoint you, to anoint you with that oil that is needful to be able to answer anybody in the fear of God. Anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. This is what you need as a poor, guilty, weak and helpless worm. This will make you to feel your weakness. When you feel yourself to be a worm and no man, delivered from that pride, dear friends of the flesh, from that religious pride, from that come not nigh me, for I'm holier than thou. Or when you're brought there, I believe you'll know something of what it is as a guilty, weak and helpless worm to fall upon the arm of the Lord Jesus, to look to him that these good tidings might be preached unto your soul. For him hath God exhorted to give repentance to Israel and remission for sins. Now he has sent me. See, here the Spirit of the Lord God sends poor sinners, sent Isaiah to preach good tidings unto the meek, sends all his servants to preach these good tidings. We don't want topical preaching, do we? We don't want all those ditties that come from the invention of man's mind, but we want to show sinners what they are, strip them of all their fancied meekness, and the preacher himself too will have to pass this way to be an able to preach to others. He'll empty us as he does, and we come feeling our nothingness and our poverty, but dependent. Well, we've been singing concerning repentance and faith. They go hand in glove, as we've sung, and as you will appreciate, repentance and faith go together. When the Lord grants you repentance, you'll be a meek sinner. You'll be a broken-hearted sinner. You'll have godly sorrow. You'll be a mourner in Zion. And as it goes on to say here, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, give unto them beauty for ashes. You see, all the religions burnt up. All this dressing up, this paraphernalia that we witness in the national churches. You know, what profit is there in it? You know, it's the humble that are going to hear thereof and be glad. We should come then as beggars, poor at mercy's door, pleading that he might bind up our broken heart. Jesus, you know, the sum and substance of your hope, the good tidings. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sins he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. There's your very hope, dear friends, for eternal bliss. Jesus himself to heal you, to restore you. He has sent me. Here we have then this prophetic language of Jesus Christ through the scriptures. Here we see Isaiah under the influence of the Spirit speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath anointed me. Jesus Christ then, the friend of sinners, the one that is able to be formed in your heart and mine as the hope of glory. He sent me to bind up. Oh, he binds up your broken heart. You may have many sorrows, many difficulties, many mysterious things in your life that you cannot fit together. I don't believe the Lord intends you to, but if they are so sanctified, your trials, they will bring you as a guilty sinner before the Lord. They bring you as a begging sinner, as a mourning sinner. And you'll feel to have, but all your religion burnt up. All that beauty burnt up. All those perhaps beautiful phrases that you thought the Lord had given to you. All that religion that you've acquired over the years through familiarity with God's word. What a danger that is. Familiarity of God's word. Familiarity through many sermons that you've sat under. And many sermons you've read. And many portions you've read, many magazines, accounts in our Gospel Standard, those things that are very interesting to read. And yet you've read hundreds, I was going to say, perhaps nearly thousands. You've got familiarity with certain phrases, the phraseology of a denomination. Oh, you see, you want more than that. The Lord's going to burn it all up. All that you've acquired by a good memory. And he's going to make you to mourn. And you do mourn. And the further you go on, the more darksome seems to be your poor soul and your pathway. When you so long for the Lord to shine upon you and revive you and bless you with his Spirit. Well, the devil, you know, is very active, ever ready, isn't he, to undermine any little work that the Lord has performed in your soul. But you see, the Lord's going to burn up all the dross. Gold in the furnace tried there loses all but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. What is your cross? What is mine? Well, I believe we shall prove one of the crosses that we have to bear is our foul ignorance and foolishness. Or it may be something in your environment. Someone perhaps may be a stumbling block to you in Zion. Some difficulty you encounter in your family circle, which can be quite large. Or some affliction and some mysterious thing or event that's taken place. It's a cross to carry. And oh, you would delight to have it removed. Or as I have said already, your sins, past sins, in the light of God's truth. Sometimes you want to turn the page over. I don't want to read that. It reads me. Shows me up. Shows me what I am. You want something nicer for the Lord to show you. You want him to tell you more of his love. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, dear friends. There are plenty talk of love. All they can talk about is loving one another. But you know, they don't know anything about what real sin is, and what the work of the Spirit is. And they presume that the Lord loves them. You know, when the Lord really deals with a poor sinner, he'll make him feel so cold and so hard and so dead. I wonder if they know anything of this. This will make you mourn if you have a desire as a sinner to love the Lord. You'll be a real mourner. Oh, wretched man that I am, not be standing up upon the mountaintop praising the Lord from the rooftop. You're not singing, will you, in God's house with real melody in your heart until the Lord comes and grants you a thankful heart for some blessed deliverance. You'll be a mourner. I know you sing with a humble hope in your heart and a desire to his honour and glory. You might have been able to sing these truths. But when you sing them in the language we sing sometimes, oh, that I might have that religion to be mine. Well, the mercy is, dear friends, to be a mourner in Zion. Because there's going to be a blessed exchange one day for such sinners, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so for the most part, I believe the believer in Christ will be very much a mourner. He'll be on the spirit of heaviness. And you know what it is to feel ashes. Through those many years, he's brought to realize that the trials have burnt up all that he thought he had. Lord, you're so tried as to the reality of your religion. Lord, you say, do grant me that real religion. You know, these high flyers, for want of a better word, these that are full of praise and full of self-confidence and full of love in their head. You know, if they only knew a little of the sufferings of Christ and know something of what their sins have done, we should never get very high. We should not get very high, friends, but we should be mourners. We shall only get high when we get to heaven, but there'll be touches. I wouldn't cast any down, but I wouldn't put you on any false foundation. There'll be touches, I believe, by the way, that will encourage you and me to believe. As Paul was unable to speak a little, even before King Agrippa, his testimony. We've been reading at home through the Acts. And all wonderful, really, the Acts of the Apostles and the Lord's dealings with his disciples there, his apostles. And all you say in your own heart, oh, that religion were mine, that I might have such a testimony and not be ashamed to declare, as Paul was not ashamed, to declare his testimony, which was a living experience. He'd been a Pharisee. He'd been full of self-righteousness and pride. He'd been haling men and women to prison that believed in God and were humble mourners. He had to come that way himself in the end. He had to be led into Damascus, and he had to have one come as a messenger of God's message. And from there on, he consulted not with flesh, but preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, what an acceptable year of the Lord it was for him. And what an acceptable year, you know, it has been for some of us here. You witness wonders God has done for you in providence. There's been an acceptable year, a time when the Lord has so answered your many groanings and prayers over many years. He set you at liberty in some providential deliverance, and you bless God for it. Now you want something more. Oh yes, you're not satisfied with that, are you? Because you know you have an immortal soul, and you want that blessed assurance that you're a son or a daughter of God. But until that time comes, you'll be a mourner in Zion, and you'll be pleading the love and the blood and the righteousness of Christ, and you'll be looking for that grace and faith to view the King in his beauty. Beauty for ashes, a revelation of Christ, a promise unto your soul, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, heaviness first, mourning, and also ashes. You know, there's nothing in that, is there? That's that religion. But it's the way the Lord will have you and me to come. As he empties whom he will fill, he casts you down, and you're in the very depths, and your soul is overwhelmed, and you say, Lord, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. You can't run yourself there, can you? You can't do anything in and of yourself. But lead me to the rock that is higher than high. That rock is Christ. You want a sure foundation. You want to dig deep. You want the Lord to grant you that digging deep, to examine yourself in the light of Scripture, under the influence of the Spirit, to see whether you be in the faith of God's elect. Lord, I am oppressed. Lord, I go mourning all my days. But, oh Lord, do grant me to be a mourner, that my days of mourning might one day end, when the Lord might be unto me an everlasting light, to shine into your soul, to give you that light of the knowledge of the glory of God, in the face of Christ Jesus. And so this is the work of the Spirit, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Oh, what a favour this is, when the Lord when the Lord so favours you to behold him, to look upon him whom you have pierced. As humble followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith to look upon him whom you have pierced. It won't make you go to sing upon the mountaintops, will it? But it'll make you and me to go as a mourner, and a desire, and a pleading, and a begging that Jesus Christ would send down the blessing, would show you a token of his love. Really, may I wonder sometimes where all these people are that keep speaking of love. We know that he's a God of love. He's also a God of justice. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, or what are the end of the way? But the ways thereof, or where do they go to? Down into hell. They lead to destruction. Oh, how we need then the Lord to grant us that grace and faith to prove all things, to hold fast to that that's good. Oh, then this acceptable year is a set time when Zion is to be favoured, a set time when the day of vengeance of our God. And so he says, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, say to them with a fearful heart, fear not. Thy God will come with vengeance. Where is he coming to? With vengeance to drive out the buyers, the sellers from your heart and mine, that you might be favoured to be at peace with your God. That peace of God that passeth all knowledge of understanding. My peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now this binding up of the brokenhearted is the work of the Lord Jesus, and to grant you that liberty to captives. Your soul might be bound in many fetters. You seem to be compassed about with so many things that fence you in. Bound down with twice 10,000 ties. Oh, let me hear thy call. Lord, do come and cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Cause me to know the way wherein thou would have me to walk. For in thee do I put my trust. You trust him, don't you? Because he's given you living faith to trust in him. Know that he's the only source and giver of all good. Without him, you'll perish in your sins. And you pray that you might be able to proclaim an acceptable year. That set time when he favours Zion, when he visits your soul and mine, when he confirms your soul, when he says to you, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Or, you know, Paul was bidden, wasn't he, to arise and be baptized and wash away all thy sins. When the blessed Holy Spirit baptizes a man, when he's under the influence of this Spirit of the Lord God upon him, you know he'll have things brought to his remembrance, what the Lord has spoken to him of, and he'll make him willing in the day of his power. It'll be a comforting day to all that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Yet a little while thou shalt not see me, and yet in a little while thou shalt see me. You see the time, that time, dear friends, when the Lord seems to be absent. He's exercised your heart and drawn you. He's brought you out of the world. He's exercised your soul with a broken heart and feel to be led captive by your sins. The Lord has shown you what a sinner you are. And oh, you wait for him to bring your soul out of prison. Well, what a mercy that he has ascended on high, is led captivity captive, he received gifts of men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. that we dwell with him who is of a humble and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. As I said earlier, sometimes you want to turn the page over because you may tremble at the word or you don't want that. It's a judgment against your soul. It's something that you don't want to come to pass, perhaps in your life. But is not the Lord in it? Has he not caused it to come for correction? And you know, no matter how you turn the page over, if the Lord so lays that word in your heart, you know, it'll be like a fiery dart. It'll be like a fiery dart. The arrow of conviction that the Lord sends permits the devil to bring you into some pathway of darkness and in bondage, and you're brought into many fears. But like Job, it can't destroy your soul. Can't destroy that good work of grace. See, the Lord visits you and me for those sins, and you feel to be punished by those sins. But that ought to make you and me sick of self and more attracted to him. And there's a time appointed. A time appointed for the Lord to perform those things for you. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Providential things. Adverse things in your providential path. You know, we don't seem to go far, do we, by what something, but what something comes to suddenly stop us, bring us to a halt, exercise our minds concerning the thing, concerning our lives here below and how it's full of tribulation. But as grace is given, it'll work patience and patience experience. By these things men live, in these things is the life of my spirit. And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. A time appointed. A time he has set then to heal up your woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You see, when this good seed of the sower was sown into good ground, it certainly flourished and bore fruit. So there's breaking up the fallow ground of your heart, and it is by these things that the Lord breaks up the fallow ground of your heart. He brings you into those situations where you're made to be a real mourner. Ah, you say, Lord, yes, my sins deserve it all. But through mercy, if thou shouldest mark my iniquities, or any others, who amongst us could ever hope to stand? But you see, it is Jesus himself that has borne the curse for his dear people. And in him, oh blessed mercy, as grace and faith is given, in him we live and move and have our being. And he will favour you as a poor sinner ever, I believe, to go again those 7 times until that perfect time comes, the appointed time, to give you beauty for ashes. Ah, and it's without money. It's without money. He's given you a thirst. What does he speak of in some of these earlier chapters here? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, here we come without money. It's without money, isn't it? And without price. It's to come like this, acknowledging that you'll be a debtor to mercy. A debtor to mercy. Because you've got nothing to pay. And when they had nothing to pay, and you have nothing to pay with regard to your religion, He frankly forgave them both. You're a debtor, 500 or 50 pence. Whatever you're made to feel, that you've got nothing to pay, but you come because he's given you a thirst, he's implanted his grace in your soul. And all you say, when you read in the Word of God, that be ye holy as I am holy. Lord, what me, Lord, holy? Why, they've never had such a great wretch and a vile sinner that cannot think one thought aright. See, you're made there, aren't you, to feel so unholy, so unclean. But you see, it is making you meet to feel a beggar in religion. Lord, I've got nothing but what thou dost condescend to give me. And so, Lord, do give me thy grace, do give me thy mercy, do give me thy peace, do give me a calm and thankful heart from every murmur free. Oh, Lord, and Lord, do grant me those blessings that shall enrich my soul. You come then guilty, you come filthy, you come just as you are. And the Lord will take you with all your filthy rags, and he'll impute to you his righteousness, that you might be one of the plants of the Lord. It's these right-hand plantings of the Lord, these plantings in his courts, that shall be called trees of righteousness. They shall flourish and bear fruit in the courts of their Lord. You say, well, I don't seem to be flourishing, and I don't seem to be bringing forth any real fruit. No, maybe you don't, but you're coming, aren't you? You're a thirsting sinner, you're a hungering sinner for the righteousness of Christ. You know the Lord will not tarry long. He won't tarry long because he knows your fearful heart. He reads it. He knows the way you take, but he will perform the thing that is appointed for you. And if so be he's brought you thus far, he'll not put you to shame. Was it not Manoah's wife said, if the Lord had seen fit to destroy us, would he have shown us these things? Now, I know some here, you can't deny that he's shown you some things. Thus far your God has brought you on. You dare deny it. We dare deny it, some of us, that made his truth and his mercy known. Now he's stripped you of everything. He's made you feel your nothingness and your poverty. And he's made you come as a beggar poor at mercy's door. Lies such a wretch as I. Why you feel in your religion, don't you, the like one of old, don't you? There is Dives having all that feasting and all that, all his earthly wealth. And there's poor Lazarus, even the dogs eating, licking his sores. Oh, what a low state! I know that was in his physical condition, but so it is a time spiritually, as you're exercising yourself. Lord, I'm a beggar poor. Thou hast been good to me and better to me than all my fears in providence, but Lord, I am in need of thy spirit to anoint me and to preach these good tidings unto my soul. I feel so meek, so helpless, so undeserving. Meek in your spiritual feelings, that is. Oh, how ignorant you feel and foolish. And the Lord will have it to be so. But he has promised this acceptable year, the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to drive out the buyers and the sellers and to comfort all that mourn. To bless you with this beauty for ashes, a revelation of Christ, a drawing water from the wells of salvation. A garment of praise, oil of joy, garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Now, when the Lord so blesses a poor sinner, He goes on his way rejoicing. He wonders that he has been so long in darkness and bondage, but all is forgotten. As the Sun of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings, and you go forth as a calf from the stall. 'Tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again spiritually. You go forth as a calf from the stall, tender in the fear of God, blessing God, and I believe you can be of a great age and be made tender this lamb before our shearers is dumb, and so you'll be made tender in the fear of God, and you'll bless him for it, that he should favour you with these tokens of his love, as he blesses you indeed, going forth as a calf from the stall. Oh, what a mercy 'tis he then that makes you, 'tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. It's the time appointed, the set time to favour Zion. And when the Lord so comes, you know he will shine into your heart and reveal to you that everlasting love of Christ, and be to you an everlasting light, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You see, it'll be ever giving the praise unto the Lord, unto whom praise is due, for all the way that he's led you in the wilderness, and favoured you with those preserving, sparing, and keeping mercies, and providing mercies. And now through mercy he comes where you are and blesses you with that knowledge of himself, as he is made precious unto you as a believer in him. And so it's looking unto him and desiring that he might put that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness upon you. You see, heaviness maketh your heart and mind to stoop. And it's been like a time of great adversity. Everything seems to be against you in some ways that we pass through here below. And in your spiritual teaching, everything seems to be dark. You're in bondage through fear of death. But you know there's also this day of prosperity. One is set over against the other. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and they shall build the old ways. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. That we could see the building of the old waste in Zion. But when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? He will find it in his own family, in his own children, whom he hath loved with an everlasting love. And he will find faith there, because he's the author of it, and he knows where he has begun that work, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Broken hearted you may be, meek you may be, captives you may be, and you may be in prison, but there's the opening of it. Paul and Silas prayed at midnight, and the angel appeared, and you know there was that way of escape made. So it was with Peter in prison as well. There was a way of escape made. Impossible you may feel at times that your soul can ever be saved. Well, with God all things are possible. And this is our great favour and mercy, isn't it, that the Lord has not forsaken us or forgotten us. You won't get very high, will you, if you're a heaven-born soul and a heaven-bound soul. You'll be tempest-tossed, but you'll know this, that there is one able to do far more exceeding abundantly for you, above all that you can ask or think. the Spirit of the Lord God. And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he has set your soul at liberty. For he's ascended on high, he's led captivity captive. He hath received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, the Lord God might dwell among them. Or may he favour you and me with those visits. Or frequent let thy visits be. And all you have to pray, Lord, make haste, O God, make haste. You want the Lord to shine into your heart, to bless you with that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Or may the Lord then in his sovereign mercy bless us with that living faith that lives and labours under load, though damned, it never dies. But I must leave it there. The Lord add his blessing and forgive all amiss. Amen.